Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
We're going to crack it.
We're going to do it now. Come on. We'll wrap it up.
He's still out there, like an owl in the night.
Woohoo! Right, whenever you're ready, Tis.
Hello, and welcome to Weird Tales and the Unexplainable. Your host today is Tis. With me, my co-hosts, as always. Introduce yourselves, Bob.
Hi, this is Bob.
Beefay.
Hello, I am Beefay.
New year, new Tis with that intro.
I always planned to roll straight into that.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not going to hesitate.
It was
roll
great.
Roll straight in.
I think it's one of your strongest intros.
It really was.
Nice.
That was remarkable.
Remarkable.
So we're mixing it up a little bit. Normally, I think I normally start the series, but I'm not ready. So Tis has stepped up.
Yeah, I was going to research it weeks ago. And as usual, I waited until this week because I remembered if I research it too early, the fire goes and I don't have any enthusiasm for the subject anymore. And this one's a biggie.
Is it?
Okay, what, like
this
long
one's
awaited?
A real biggie. It's long awaited. Should we roll straight in? How are you guys doing?
Yeah, like it's 2021. So, you know.
Yeah, the new year.
Same as it ever
doesn't
was.
Doesn't feel like a new year.
No.
It's like the same fucking year, just carrying on.
Apart from old Parp has gone, isn't he? So we're not going to mention him anymore on the pod, I don't think. It's done now. It's like
who?
You know.
I have no idea you're talking about.
The guy who left yesterday.
No.
You're going to make us say his name.
If there is such a guy, he is dead to me, most certainly.
You've got okay. It. So he doesn't right. exist. The name, I'm not even going to have to beep his name anymore because it's just not going to be mentioned. It's like we've all woken up from a bad dream and we can just not acknowledge that ever happened.
Yeah.
He's yesterday's news. Yesterday's news.
Who is?
Exactly.
Right, cool.
Who?
What are we doing?
Go on, go into it.
Like an owl in the night. Woohoo! Right, let's just roll straight in. I'm going to play a video clip, which will... after this, you guys are going to try and guess what we're talking about tonight.
He always does this, and I always struggle to guess.
It'll be... It's because he normally plays like a clip of like the Smurfs. What is
so
it?
The last time he played a clip of Zoolander.
No, this one's more...
Is it Austin Powers?
Linked.
Yeah, baby.
No. Right, here we go.
This one's more linked.
Does it seem to you as if you're pretty much on the verge of finding this man?
Well, I wouldn't want to say that, Dave. We're hoping. We've got some good things working for us. But it takes time, and to be able to reach out and pluck this guy out of the air isn't done. In most murder cases, you'll find a motive. But, of course, this guy is just a killer, a mad killer, and you have no motive. So it makes it a little bit harder for us to track him down.
It's also fairly obvious that the man greatly enjoys the publicity that surrounds this thing.
I know.
Yeah.
Is it the big Z?
The big Z to the O to the D to the I to the A to the C.
Mr. Zodiac.
Zodiac.
Awesome.
Nice.
You're right, this is a biggie.
Let me tell you, there is so much information.
This is... I'm surprised you're not saying this is a two-parter.
It probably is. I've got so much information.
Well, we'll see. If this runs long, we'll just call it a two-parter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
There's so much information.
Can I just say...
I was watching a whole...
I'm really pleased I'm not the one doing this, because it's such a...
Yeah, me too. I've been waiting for one of you two to do it.
I was looking at all the material and thinking, I can't be bothered.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been mostly waiting to rewatch the Zodiac film, because I'd rewatched it... I'd watched it, probably too recent. To do the episode, but not close enough to just off the cuff, you know.
Yeah.
So it was long enough, and Lids hadn't seen the film
and
either.
It's not a quick watch.
It's not. It's 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's long. I do love that film, though.
I don't think I've seen it.
But you haven't seen it, Beef?
No.
David Fincher's Zodiac, that is a must-watch. It's one of his best.
You just gave me one of the reasons why I've never watched it.
The attention to detail is amazing.
It's too long.
Yeah, it is long, but it is a fantastic film.
It is. This is my problem with long films. Every film that's long, I want to see, but I just don't have the time.
Yeah, I sometimes will break them up into two halves.
Yeah, I don't know. I've started to do that recently because I thought, well, otherwise I'm never going to see these things.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why can't I just watch it over like two or three nights? What's the problem?
A lot of the time, if it's really long, me and Becky will call it a Sunday film, and we'll watch like an hour, maybe an hour and a half of it, like lunchtime on Sunday, and then we'll watch the other half with dinner on Sunday.
Yeah, that sounds good. Sweet.
But yeah, Beef, it's a must watch. This will whet your appetite for it.
I'm sure it will. And I want to make it clear that whilst I didn't want to lead this one, this is the one I wanted to do the most than just participate and be and enjoy it. So
yeah,
looking forward to it.
And we've talked about Zodiac a little bit. It came up on the weird phone calls one that we recorded at Tiss's house in Bristol, because we talked about the time when he supposedly maybe not called into the talk show, which is in that film as well.
Yeah. Well, There's a lot of info to go through. There's so much. This could be a two-parter.
I think it's a two-parter.
I feel like now I've hinted that it's a two-parter, this is like, yeah, it's a two-parter.
It's one of those where when I prepare an episode, I can never have too much information.
Yeah.
And part of me was like, I'm probably going to have to sort of leave stuff out. But like when you said two-parter, I was like, yeah, probably. It probably could be a two-parter.
Well, if we say, if it goes through and it's a one-parter, so be it. Saying to the listeners now, this could be a two-parter. Tiss, I'll just leave it to you to like run us through how much you want to call a breaking point where you want, if you want. And then you know which stuff you might want to look more into for part two if it goes that way.
Yeah, yeah.
And if that's the case, the next episode will just be you again doing part two.
Sweet.
Yeah. Sounds good. Keep it on the roll. Yeah, cool. But yeah, let's start where you want to then.
Let's delve in. The Zodiac, I'll give like a brief overview, and then maybe we'll look at the victims, the chronology of what happened, how it happened, and then maybe we'll look at some suspects. The suspects is where the meat, real meat is. Obviously, what happened.
Well, the interesting thing about Zodiac is, before we even get into it, obviously, he is a guy that killed people. It's a big mystery.
Spoiler alert.
Sorry. but the thing is, there was like people would try to get on his fame and stuff. So some of the deaths, they're not even sure were him. It's like some they're like definite this was him, and some they're like this might have been him, or it might have been someone else.
Yeah. And there's some that maybe he took credit for which weren't him.
Yeah, exactly. That other way. And then you've got that every event, it's like people are not sure what events were him and not, and that made it more cloudy in trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's go for it.
So I can take you through, I mean, the main ones that are in the victim side of things, I'll take you through are the confirmed Zodiac killings, and then we'll go through maybe some of the ones that he took credit for or could have took credit for, or there was a few links in the evidence that pointed towards maybe it being him.
So before we continue, I would just say, potentially, if we do end up splitting this into two, you could go through the timeline, the deaths, and, you know, the puzzles and stuff, this one, and then do the suspects as part two.
Sounds good.
Potentially. But yeah, I mean, that would, because the suspects is the meatiest section of it, so that would work as a second part, but however you want to do it.
Cool. Okay. So we'll go to the first definite Zodiac victim, Cherry Joe Bates. This is one that didn't come up in the film. In fact, one of two early ones that wasn't in the film at the start. The film I recommend to everyone because it is so well researched, even down to the outfits and some of the settings.
Really?
In the original 60s locations and stuff like that. Really well researched.
The way that film was done as well, they only show what is 100% confirmed to have happened. So that's why a lot of the deaths and murders you don't see, because they're not sure how they happened or whatever. Like, the ones that you see more in depth are the ones that there were survivors from, so they can explain exactly what happened and they do them exactly how they happened. So they only show stuff that was fact in the film.
If you live in the UK.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
Mm.
You can catch Zodiac on Netflix.
Yeah, I know. That's how I watched it a couple of weeks ago. Rewatched it. So these first ones, they're not in the film then, these first couple of kills.
So you got this guy who's been doing some murders.
Yeah.
And so this guy, not in the film, so we're not really sure if it was Zodiac or not.
This is Cherry Josephine Bates. This is the first victim.
Right. Just not in the film.
Not in the film, but the film starts with the third victim. This one was a 1966 graduate of Riverside Ramona High School. 18-year-old Cherry Jo Bates was beaten and stabbed multiple times with a short-bladed knife. Her throat was also cut. There was no evidence of robbery or sexual molestation, and there were no witnesses. Bates had visited her college library, and the police believe that was when her Volkswagen Beetle was disabled by her eventual killer. Her car was found approximately 100 yards from the alley where she was killed. A men's Timex watch with a band suggesting a 7-inch wrist was found at the scene, along with a military-style heel print indicating a size 8 to 10 shoe.
7-inch wrist?
Yeah. I guess around.
That seems really like a quite a big, thick wrist to me.
Probably not.
Probably like a builder's wrist.
I'm a builder and my wrists aren't 7 inches.
Wait, you're not really a builder.
No.
Bob the Builder.
Yeah. Have you not seen that show about me? I was played by Neil Morrissey.
And the shoes were eventually traced. The watch was eventually traced to a military post, possibly in England, and the shoes could have been sold nearby March Air Force Base. Investigators established the watch was ripped from the attacker's wrist during the struggle. Although the watch had stopped on 12/24, it's unknown exactly when the crime occurred. Bates died very quickly.
So are we sure this is Zodiac who did this killing?
Well, it says the Zodiac was first considered a suspect in the Bates murder in October 1969 when the Riverside Police Department noted similarities between the Bates case and Napa County's Zodiac killing of September 27th, 1969.
Right. So this is why it's so impossible to catch the guy, because they're like, well, this is probably him. But if it wasn't, they're then going off evidence of like, well, this is the sort of size shoe he's got. This is the sort of build we've got based on the wristwatch. This is... And if it wasn't him, they're going on completely like false evidence.
Yeah.
In that era, it's just so hard to track anyone down, it feels like.
Definitely.
It seems like there's a lot of links with the Zodiac killer to a military past.
Right.
Because there's other sort of shreds of evidence, like there was lots of cryptology books taken out of a military library in San Francisco, I think it was.
San Francisco is where a lot of the killings were going on, isn't it, around that area?
Yeah. And obviously he used cryptology to cryptoid his messages. I don't know.
Yeah, I'll allow it.
He cryptoided it. cryptoided all his messages. So I feel like 1940s, 50s, 60s America was like rife with murders like this.
It feels like it, doesn't it?
Maybe that's just me watching a load of like noir films and
playing too much LA Noir.
Yeah, probably.
No. So in San Francisco, on the documentary I've watched, they said that there wasn't a lot of crime back in those days. Oh. If there was much crime, it was, you know, a bar fight, stolen car, this sort of stuff. Murder wasn't really...
Hippie town, though, isn't it, San Fran?
Yeah.
Especially in that era.
Yeah, yeah, totally. But you could be forgiven for thinking there was a lot of murders because, as we're going to find out from how the Zodiacs managed to evade police back in those days, the police communication between sort of districts was pretty poor. Someone moving around and killing randomly could probably get away with getting away with it pretty easily.
Mm.
Compared to now, anyway. Cool. Well, that's Cherry Josephine Bates. I actually, until today, hadn't read that she was even a victim. It's not very well documented.
So it's like, it's not 100%. Well, obviously, they can't confirm any of them, but it's like, potentially, this was him as well. This might have been his first victim. Basically, Slash and Nash.
Yeah. Actually, I've got to do a shout-out quickly ahead of all the information I give. Shout-out to ZodiacKiller.com. This is where most of the information I'll be presenting that is all collated.
Right.
It's a really good website for everything Zodiac. I mean, I didn't even have to write a lot of notes for this episode because when I was writing notes, I was like, this site has everything I'm writing anyway.
So like we always say to listeners, if we're only going to give a cursory glance at this stuff, even if it ends up being a two-parter, but if this wets your whistle for more Zodiac info and you want to go a deep dive on it, head over to Zodiac Killer. Where is it? ZodiacKiller.com?
ZodiacKiller.com, yeah.
Yeah, head over there.
And the guy, I think it's Tom Vaught, appears in many documentaries. Link to the Zodiac. He's just collating a lot of good information and new information and still trying to push the
case.
Still
on the hunt.
Interestingly enough, when the film came out in 2006, I believe, the case had been closed till then, and the case got reopened like a week later.
Yeah.
And it's still open now in San Francisco.
Really? Is that true?
I remember reading that.
Yeah.
Huh.
There's still people doing a lot of good work on this case, and I'm all too happy to take their information.
Yeah, and we'll get onto suspects at some other time, but there are like a few favourite suspects, aren't there, that people like to discuss between?
Yeah. Yeah, there's some real doozies. Every single one of them, you could really find a treasure trove of information about.
Yeah.
You know, linking them to it, so...
And that's the only thing I would criticize the David Fincher film for. It really does lean into saying, like, it's almost like David Fincher thought, I think it's this guy, so it really lays it on thick to make you think it's that guy.
Yeah.
Really?
All the information that he presents against that guy is all true as well.
Yeah,
it just
feels like it's edging you. It's making you as a viewer lean into who it wants you to think it is.
Yeah, definitely.
So I'll be interested to hear who the other real, like, suspected people are.
Well, the film's higher suspect is not the current higher suspect.
So they haven't... This isn't wrapped up then? It's still going on?
No.
No.
Big old mystery.
He's still out there.
Wowee.
We're going to crack it. We're going to decide it.
We're going to do it now. Come on. We'll wrap it up in the next hour.
He's like the American Jack the Ripper.
Right, next victim, Tissy.
Cool. Let's move on to David Arthur Faraday and Betty Lou Jensen. This place of attack was a gravel parking area along the remote Lake Herman Road. This was what would you call it? Lover's Way, or yeah, what do they call it?
Lover's Retreat.
Yeah, something like that. Makeout point. Lover's Lane.
Right.
Lover's Lane. That sort of thing. a first date ended up there, and the killer came up behind the car, came up behind the car, and then went away, and then came back, shone a flashlight in both their eyes, flashlight. They thought it must have been a cop or someone, and then just started opening fire on both of them.
Sorry, I just can't get over that this actually happened. I've only ever seen this in films.
Yeah.
Just some douchebag guy.
That feels like something out of a film, doesn't it?
Yeah, some douchebag guy, and they're out together, and she's like, oh, my dad doesn't like you. He's told me I can't spend any time with you. And he's like, it's okay, baby. It's cool. It's cool. And then he's just like, puts his arm around her, puts the music on the radio. Oh, it's cold out here. Oh, that's fine. Just snuggle in. We've all seen this before.
I can't believe it. Now my pads are chafing me.
According to the police report, the victims were apparently approached while occupying Faraday Station wagon. Shots were fired into the vehicle in an apparent effort to force them out. Jensen exited the front passenger door first, followed by Faraday. Faraday was shot as he emerged from the car. Jensen was then shot as she fled on foot. Faraday was shot in the head at point-blank range.
Wow.
And died within minutes. Betty Lee Jensen was shot 5 times in the back and killed instantly.
Jesus.
The weapon was a 22 caliber semi-automatic pistol. No indication, again, of robbery or sexual molestation. While there were no witnesses, several vehicles were seen in the area prior to the local resident Stella Borges discovering the crime scene.
We've had a stabbing and a shooting.
Yeah, different methods, if it is the same guy.
Different methods, yeah.
Mixing it up to get rid of the scent.
I mean, point-blank range as well. That's going to be messy, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Who would want to be just like a forensics person just arriving to that scene? Just like brains.
My sister's had to go to a few scenes a bit like that.
Really?
No way.
Yeah, she had to go to like a one recently. It was and it was a fucking mess in there.
Oh, great.
Oh my God.
I've got a friend she's a forensics doctor for the police.
Mm.
So she does loads of different stuff. I think she could potentially do stuff like that, but she's mostly been doing like drugs, like people, like drugs people, that sort of stuff.
So that killing happened and they didn't really have any leads. Sort of time passed. So that was December 20th, 1968. Let's fast forward to July 5th, 1969. Darlene Ferrin and Mike Magoo. This is where the Zodiac film picks up from.
Right, okay.
Mm.
Time of attack, approximately 12:10 a.m. Place of attack, the parking lot of a secluded Blue Rock Springs Park on the eastern outskirts of Vallejo, California.
Make out point.
The method of attack, pretty much. Darlene Ferrin, age 22, was shot 5 times. Mike Magoo, age 19, was shot 4 times. The weapon was 9mm semi-automatic pistol. No indication of robbery or sexual molestation.
So
again,
that's really similar to the second one.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, totally. Ferrin was married and worked as a waitress at Terry's restaurant. Magoo was single and worked as a labourer. Ferrin's husband, Dean, was initially a suspect in the murder, however, was ruled out once it was established he was working as a cook at Caesar's restaurant at the time of the murder. Ferrin's first husband, James Phillips Crabtree, also briefly a suspect. According to the surviving victim, Magoo, he and Ferrin had parked at the isolated location to talk. A car, possibly a light brown Ford Mustang or a Chevrolet Corvette, pulled into the lot just a few feet away. A man with a flashlight exited the vehicle and approached them. Actually, sorry, this is the one with the flashlight. Sorry, the first one was just a pure killing.
Right, okay.
I guess maybe with a flashlight, but there was no witnesses and they both died.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the one where Magoo survived in the end.
Yeah.
So this witness account is what happened. A man with a flashlight exited the vehicle and approached them. There was no other cars in the parking lot. Thinking it was a police officer, the couple had their identification ready. Without warning, the man began firing at the couple. After five shots were fired, the man walked slowly back to his car. Magoo sort of screamed in pain. I think he was probably gargling or whatever. So at which point the man returned and fired two more shots into each victim. It was at this point that Magoo got a look at him. The man was white, 5'8 to 5'9, in his late 20s to early 30s, stocky build, round face, brown hair. No conversation between the victims and the man occurred. Approximately 45 minutes later, the Vallejo Police Department received a call from a man claiming responsibility for the attack. He correctly identified the weapon used as a 9mm. He also took credit for the Faraday and Jensen murders in December. So this is where the Faraday and Jensen murders got lumped in with this, and the Zodiac killings began. For the next few weeks, the investigation went nowhere. Then on July 31st, 1969, letters were sent to the Vallejo Times Herald, San Francisco Examiner, and the San Francisco Chronicle. The letters claimed to be from the killer of Faraday, Jensen, and Ferrin. Details were included that only the killer could have known, and each letter contained one third of a cipher that, if solved, supposedly contained the killer's identity. While the killer hadn't yet given himself the name Zodiac, this marked the beginning of a letter-writing spree that would go on for more than 5 years.
So this is, yeah, this is the start of him fucking around and playing games with the press and the police, and this, like, sort of proving he's better and more intelligent than them, and also wanting some sort of fame.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting how he consistently always wanted to take credit for murders and get this fame and write in. Spread the attention between all of the different newspapers.
It's not this first letter, is it? Or is it that he said to them, print this on the front page or something?
This is the one, yeah. That's right. In reference to the one where it's to be printed on the front page. I believe one paper printed on the front page, one didn't, and one put it on the fourth page.
Right.
One that didn't, I believe, asked for more confirmation, and then he wrote back with more information and confirming, yeah, more information that only the Zodiac could have known.
Mm-hmm. And it's amazing that they did it.
Yeah, it's absolutely nuts.
So it's like he created his own, like, fame and buzz by, like, the public now know about this guy, and everyone's trying to, like, solve the... It's almost like a fucking... It feels like a plot to a film, trying to solve the riddle of the Zodiac, and there's this big game going on, and it's like you could be a winner. Like, I don't know, it's really weird.
It's interesting you say about films, because there's a lot of evidence pointing towards the Zodiac being a great fan of film.
Right.
And movies.
Yeah.
In the ciphers, there's a lot of references to different films, quotes. I do think that maybe spurred on by his love of film, he created maybe his own film, his own story.
Definitely like a flair for the dramatic, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
But can you imagine that happening now, like with Twitter, like how abuzz the whole world would be? That all the papers are printing letters from a killer on the front page and are saying, solve this riddle that he sent us and stuff.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You probably couldn't have it happen these days. I just don't think it would be possible.
He'd get caught.
Yeah, exactly. He'd have your pants pulled down too quickly.
Mm. Yeah, back then it was just the perfect mix of a lack of communication between different bureaus of police and stuff like that, and just not the technology. There was no fingerprinting. The forensics was there was no forensics.
No.
So the handling of evidence was sloppy. Very hard to get a DNA. Mm. Even now, it's hard to get DNA that you can confirm was definitely the killer's and not mixed with lots of different people that could have handled those things.
It's a perfect storm for him, really, because it's like he knows, it feels like he knows what he can get away with and how much he can push it. So they're going to find it harder to find out who he is because of the limitations of the day. But also, it's the start of, like, you know, chat shows and fame and the press being the big thing. And he's preying on that as well. So he's having his cake and eat it. He's like, the perfect time for me to strike is now. I can get on, you know, I can become like a celebrity of the press, but also fly just under the radar of the police.
Yeah, yeah.
And like straddling this line between them.
It's the perfect storm.
Little fucker.
Little fucker. One of the letters I can read out. This was what sent to the San Francisco Chronicle. Again, Zodiac Killer, I really can't. ZodiacKiller.com, sorry. I really can't rate enough. You can go on there. You can see the original scans of all these letters.
So this is the newspaper that in the film Jake Gyllenhaal's character works for, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Chronicle. I think it is.
Yeah.
Oh, God, what was his name? Because that guy obviously did work there, and he wrote the book Zodiac.
Yeah, that's it, because
he was an amateur sleuth.
Yeah, I can't remember. I can't remember his name, but yeah. Because he would not drop the case. Even after people were losing interest, he was still digging into it.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, totally.
With the help of totally. Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Bob. I thought I'd just jump in to let you know the name of the person we're talking about is Robert Graysmith. So there we go. Back to the episode.
The letter reads, "Dear Editor, this is the murderer of the two teenagers last Christmas at Lake Herman and the girl on the 4th of July near the golf course in Vallejo. To prove I killed them, I shall state some facts which only I and the police know. Brand name of ammo, Super X 2. 10 shots were fired. The boy was on his back with his feet to the car. The girl was on the right side, feet to the west. Girl was wearing pattern slacks. The boy was also shot in the knee. Brand name of... couldn't read that part. I think it's ammo, something Western. Smith and Wesson?
Smith and Wesson.
That's a guess. I can't read the handwriting at that point. His writing goes downwards. They say if you write up, you're optimistic. So what if your writing goes slants from up to down?
Pessimistic? I'm just guessing. Yeah. It's the opposite. They're saying if it goes up, optimistic. So what could down possibly be?
Yeah. What could it possibly be?
I'm going to say glass half empty.
I think this was the handwriting is shocking. But I think this is the
one received... Do you think his handwriting was that bad, or he's trying to mask it? He's writing with his left hand or something? Or his non-dominant hand?
This is one of the theories. On one of the suspects, they think he was ambidextrous.
Right.
And could write with his left hand. I think there was a lot of debate about whether a left hand could produce something that was totally different to the right hand. There'd always be similarities, but yeah. This was the debut of the Zodiac, so this was the debut of him or her referring to themselves as the Zodiac. Ow, my foot is just cramped. Sorry.
Ow, fuck.
Oh, it's back again. Right, there we go. Dear editor,
I'll put that after the credits.
Dear editor, this is the Zodiac speaking. In answer to your asking for more details about the good times, I have something Vallejo. I shall be very happy to supply with more material. By the way, something the police having a good time with the code. If not, tell them to check when they do crack it, they will have me. On the 4th of July, I did not. The window is rolled something all The boy was originally sitting in the front seat when I began firing. It goes on with more chicken scratch. But essentially that was...
chicken scratch.
That was the... Yeah, the San Francisco Examiner. So that was the San Francisco Examiner that was had replied and wanted more info to prove you're the Zodiac. Or, well, prove you're the man. And then this was the first Zodiac letter.
Can you imagine that this is like being investigated in a court of law and this is the guy there presenting the evidence and he's just like, something about Wesson, blah, blah, more chicken scratch, you get the idea.
If I was a lawyer, I'd be Lionel Hutz, for sure. I rest my case, Your Honor.
I'm in for a bad court thingy.
Oh, I'm sorry, case dismissed.
That's why you're the judge and I'm the law talking guy.
Oh man.
Or I'd
guys.
Be that chicken from Futurama.
Oh yeah, the hyper chicken.
So back to the chicken scratch.
Love it.
Back to the hyper chicken.
Back to the chicken scratch. So that letter was the letters were 31st of July. This was a August letter, so pretty close after. And then October, August. Okay, so sorry. September comes way before October. Sorry, I'm just being silly.
It's the month before, right. Yeah.
It's the month before. So after this letter,
case closed.
Comes to our next victims.
Right.
Cecilia Shepherd and Brian Hartnell.
So how long has it been between that potential third victims and this one?
We've got December 20th for David Faraday and Betty Lou Jensen. Then It goes the next year, July, and then September. So July to September of the same year, 1969.
Okay, so like 2 months.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not too long. That's like enough time for it to die down and then go and strike again.
Yeah, yeah. Summer of 69 must have really sucked for those guys. And then you've got like every person in the world just really nostalgic about that year.
Mm.
That must be hard.
Outro music this week.
The summer of 69.
Oh, God.
Sorry.
We're really being silly, right? Okay, we need to get through these victims, right?
How many victims were there, Tis?
We need to get through them just like the Zodiac did. Great, this is definitely a two-parter.
Yeah, that's what I said. Part one is the victims, part two is the suspects.
Beautiful. Right. Victim...
How many victims were there? Four of...
Confirmed victims of the Zodiac Killer. You've got Cherry Joe Bates, the first one. You've got the David Faraday and Betty Lou Jensen. They both died, so that's three victims. And then Darlene Ferrin, Mike Magoo. Mike Magoo survived, so that's four victims. Unless you're counting someone who got shot, so maybe five if you're counting people
so we've
got shot. Five
attempted, four actual so far.
Yeah. And then Cecilia Shepherd, Brian Hartnell, who we're talking about now, and then after that we've got one more confirmed Zodiac, and then every other one is sort of like one that he took credit for, maybe got linked.
Maybe it was him, maybe he stole it, maybe someone did it and pretended they were him or whatever.
Exactly.
Right, okay.
I couldn't imagine killing anyone, but I couldn't imagine killing that many people and it being a game.
Once you've done it once, it's easier.
And just being a game to you, it's just a game.
Mm. Oh, yeah, it's just a big, fun game.
At random.
Oh, I mean...
At random as well, it seems.
Wasn't like Kaplunk all the rage in the 70s and 60s? I feel like give him a game of Kaplunk or...
It's not good enough though, is it, Kaplunk?
Buckaroo.
Are you saying that Kaplunk was the reason why these people turned to murder? It was just such a fucking boring game.
They wanted something with more depth.
Kaplunk, is that the one where you've got loads of like sticks and you've got to pull them out and the ball goes
through? Yeah, and the marbles fall through.
Yeah, it's rubbish.
Right. Yeah. I'm thinking of Hungry Hippos.
Pop-Up Pirate as well, because all you have to do is remember the slot where it makes pop-up and that's it. Game over.
Crocodile Dentist.
You will never win. So it should still be fun, though.
So is this next one, is this the guy who was in the car?
This next one is not. No. This one changes a little bit, but it's similar to the first attack. This is a knife attack.
Okay.
So this is approximately 6 o'clock in the evening of a September 27th, 1969 Saturday. Just to set the picture there. Terrible. The shoreline of Lake Berryessa near Napa, California. Method of attack. Cecilia Shepherd, age 22, was stabbed 10 times, 5 in the front and 5 in the back.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't imagine stabbing someone once.
No.
Yeah.
Can you imagine stabbing someone 10 times?
Ah.
You'd be knackered.
Yeah.
Horrible.
10 times. That's maniacal.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
I haven't done anything 10 times in a row.
Wow.
But you there was them slow days when you was a teenager. When
absolute filth.
Oh, we've brought the tone right down.
There was a guy who was a copper who used to tell us some stuff that he shouldn't have when lived in. Oh, sorry, I should probably bleep that. But he said, like, he would investigate some. He said that he investigated one home and the husband had stabbed the wife 50 times. So can you imagine 50? Like, what sort of mindset your brain is in? And then he cut her head off and threw it down the garden. Yeah, so I can't imagine stabbing someone once. I can't imagine stabbing someone 10 times. And from that example, I can't imagine how you would even stab someone 50 times and have any power left in your hand to then cut the woman's head off.
You'd be bored after at least 5.
At what point, if you just got in a domestic row and then you suddenly flip and do that, at what point during the removal of someone's head, because that isn't a quick process, are you thinking, what the fuck am I doing?
They're probably just in an animalistic rage though, right?
It just boggles my mind. Scary stuff.
Another good game, Boggle.
I mean, so hang on a minute. So he stabbed this woman 50 times. 50.
Yeah, this isn't the Zodiac. This is
sort of copper. Yeah. I mean, how did they know that? Did he count them?
They do. That's the autopsy, isn't it? I don't even know what's left when you've stabbed him 50 times.
No.
How do you differentiate the different stab wounds from each other?
It's like itchy and scratchy, where it just like chops him up and it's just like vapor.
Oh, yeah. Powder.
It's just paper, and then he breathed him in. And then, yeah. All that. Anyway.
Yeah. But anyway, 10 times the Zodiac did it.
Jeez.
10 times, 5 in the front, 5 in the back. Brian Hartnell, age 20, was stabbed 6 times in the back. The knife had a wooden handle and a blade approximately 10 to 12 inches long. That's a long blade. There was no indication of robbery or sex every time. Sexual molestation.
So, yeah, we get it.
So this, if I was to paint the picture of the crime, someone approached this couple next to a lake. In a hood, complete black overall, black hood, with a black bib with the Zodiac symbol, which is a crosshair with a circle around it.
This is the bit in the film, right, that you see this?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I know the scene, so I can picture it from that.
And to begin with, he weaves this story about being an escaped convict. And that he just wants their keys, wants their money. So very calmly, they are complying. And then he gets some washing line out of his pocket and says for her to tie him up. This is Cecilia to tie up Brian. And then he ties up Cecilia, puts them on their front, and then proceeds to start stabbing them maniacally.
This scene in the film is really scary, I think.
Yeah.
Because it's so realistic. Like, it's one of the most realistic, like, killer attacks I think I've seen in a film, because it's so cold and methodical.
Yeah.
He's just asking them to do... Yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah.
I've not seen it. Needs to see it.
Shepard noticed a man approaching them wearing an unusual costume, holding a gun. He appeared to be more than 6 feet tall with a heavy build. Someone is really big as well, really imposing. It's super scary. But he was holding a gun when he was getting them to do all of this and comply. Mm. He had a gun to them the whole time. The man claimed he was a prison escapee from either Montana or Colorado. Tied him with clothesline. After the assault, the man walked casually away from the scene. After several minutes, a nearby fisherman heard a couple screaming and alerted park rangers. By the time help arrived, Shepard and Hartnell had managed to untie their restraints. It took nearly an hour for an ambulance to arrive, at which time both victims were in critical condition. Just over an hour after the attack, the Napa Police Department received a call from a man claiming responsibility for the stabbing. The call was quickly traced to a phone booth in downtown Napa, which was like one block away from the police station. And the fingerprints were later recovered. Meanwhile, Napa County's Sheriff's Department deputies were responding to the crime scene. They found that the attacker had written a message on the victim's car door. The message included the dates of Faraday Jensen, Ferrin Magoo, and the attacks, and was signed with a cross-circle symbol. Tire tracks indicated that the killer had parked behind the victim's car. Again, size 10.5 Wingwalker shoe prints were recovered from the scene, so that's consistent with the first murder, where we've heard about the between 8 and 10 size, but army boots, indicating a suspect weighing more than 210 pounds. I'm not sure how much of that is in stone. That's
pretty
heavy.
Big.
Yeah, that's heavy. Well, they said he wasn't that tall, so he's quite stocky then.
Yeah. He's quite tall. Said he was six foot.
6 foot.
Oh, that's because earlier on, didn't they say he was 5'8"?
5'8", 5'9",
Maybe that was
but the
Magoo...
difference between 5'8" and 6 foot is, you know, might wear in heels that
minimal
day.
Isn't it, depending on your perspective, isn't it, where you're sitting,
and it depends on the ground he was on.
Yeah, exactly.
It was like nighttime when they're saying 5'8" as well, so
yeah, exactly.
I would say the park description is probably more accurate,
and they were sitting down.
Wow. This guy's mental.
Yeah. So the conclusion of that was, this was a bizarre and horrifying crime. Careful consideration of the facts should dispel all myths that the Zodiac was simply a super criminal only intent on taunting the police. Rather, he was a very warped individual who apparently had grown bored with mere killing. He now apparently needed to implement extremely bizarre behaviour in order to achieve satisfaction. That kind of differs from most of the crimes, because this one, there's a lot of interaction with the victims.
Yeah, this is a weird one. He's like playing a game with them.
The other ones, he kind of just shoots and runs, like the flashlight attached to the gun. He didn't talk to them.
No. It's like he's getting cockier. He's trying something new. That's not doing it anymore.
Grown in confidence, yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's they say that about serial killers, that they get caught often because they're chasing the next buzz, and
yeah,
it eventually leads to them making a mistake, getting complacent.
Because they get into something that they don't understand, or they don't like, they're not very confident with.
Yeah.
It's a law of diminishing returns as well. They're chasing that higher the first time. Like, he shot the people the first time, and then he shot again. Maybe it didn't do it for him, like the second shooting. So then he starts stabbing people, but he knows that next stabbing's not going to do it. So he does this like playing with them the next time, tying up, all that shit. I don't know. It's like he's chasing something new.
It's a new high,
isn't it? And the outfit as well. Like, that's curious whether...
Well, that again leans into that like film obsession, that theatrical aspect of him giving himself his own logo and outfit. It is like a supervillain.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Because the logo that he's drawing, I'm just gonna hold it up. It looks like this, doesn't it?
I can't see it, but yeah, I'm guessing the crosshair.
That. Can you not see my video, Tiff?
Oh no, I've got the video off because my internet is.
So it's like a circle. It's like a circle with a cross for it.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
crosshairs.
Yeah, totally.
Mm.
And like, it's curious because you wonder, with that get-up, do you think that maybe he was hoping to be, you know, that's an out, that's like a, like, yeah, like a movie outfit.
Yeah.
But who was the outfit for? If the victims were supposed to be killed, and you've got to assume that he was trying to kill them, who was going to tell stories of that suit?
I can only be for himself.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe. Do you think because of the lake, that maybe he was hoping that maybe some people across the lake would spot it and sort of... I don't know. Yeah, it's weird.
It's like he's trying something on for size. But also, like, if someone approached me, really tall, hooded, some weird symbol on them, that's instantly going to put me off my guard and I'm going to be scared instantly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's almost like an effect on them as well. And then he's going to like the power of that. And then he's like, right, okay, that worked this time. Maybe I can start using the suit a bit more. Maybe I can reveal a picture of this identity to the press or something. I don't know. He's like testing his own superhero villain outfit.
And it's also interesting because he was wearing the Zodiac symbol, obviously trying to portray that he's the Zodiac, but then saying that he's an escapee from prison.
Yeah, that's really weird. That doesn't add up.
Going in and saying, I'm the Zodiac, you know, this is a Zodiac killing, or I don't know. Yeah, this is a... Yeah.
It's like
very
he's...
curious.
It is...
Yeah, I don't know.
Does he mean just got out of prison, or could he be talking about just years ago?
I think he was talking about escapee, like he'd escaped from prison.
He needed, right. Yeah, he
needed money
that.
And a car. He said, I want your money and your car, and I need to escape to Mexico. And that's what the story was.
It would just be a cover story. That would just be like
That feels like theatrical again, though. He's playing a role. He's playing a part. Yeah. It's like he's in a film that he's making up. Oh, I'm going to play like an escapee this time. I need a car and I've just escaped. Like he's playing a game. Like he's in a land of make-believe for himself in his own little film.
Please tell me that's your hot water bottle. Hot water bottle.
Yeah. Yeah, it is, Brian Hartnell survived the attack.
So this guy, but this is, again, it's probably why we will never have serial killers like this again, because you just wouldn't have the opportunity to think up this kind of behaviour and to...
It's so outlandish something nowadays.
He's reveling in it and loving it, and you just wouldn't... I don't know, maybe you would, but I really wouldn't think that you could have, as a killer, you could have that kind of opportunity to be that just blasé with your actions.
No.
Yeah.
Because you must have to be so confident. Like, imagine that. Like, actually, if you're like a maniac or a complete psychopath, all this stuff is actually what makes it interesting, because the killing isn't necessarily going to do it for you because you don't care anyway. It's not, the people don't mean anything to you, and it's not exactly, it's probably not exactly thrilling. What makes it thrilling is the fact that you're not getting caught and that everyone's talking about you.
Isn't it weird to be able to completely detach yourself, though, from humanity to the point where someone's life is just, like, it's not, it's just, like you said, it's just a game.
Yeah.
That is really scary. That is, like, what we were talking about with the psychopaths episode years ago. Yeah. It's, like, to completely detach from what humanity is to the point where other human beings, like, you're a human being yourself, but other human beings, they're just toys.
Yeah. And what's the difference? What... Would these people, would they mind necessarily if they fell foul to someone else's game? Do you know what I mean? Or would they understand it and respect? Like, do you know? I don't know. I don't really understand. But just
part of me feels like they'd be like, oh, you know, fair play, you got me. And then part of me feels like when it's the shoes on the other foot, they turn into like babbling coward babies and start crying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. It's just interesting to think about it.
I mean, not saying that you're a baby if you're upset when someone's trying to murder you.
Yeah. I'd imagine if someone was trying to kill me, I'd feel pretty upset about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's... Yeah, I think when you think of serial killer, you think no emotion whatsoever. And it's probably not true. They'd probably be just as scared as anyone else if they were being killed. Don't know. It's just interesting to ponder all this stuff. I just...
Yeah. As well as the killings, it's the mindset, isn't it? Like, just talking about the mindset of someone that could do all this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, and get away with it.
Exactly.
This is very much the most modern version of Jack the Ripper we have.
Mm. But don't you think, right, that actually it all sounds very unbelievable, but when you think back to OJ's case, they had to actually convince that was when DNA evidence became a thing. Before then, it just wasn't even, like, people pretty much mocked it. They sneered at this thought that you would use it and that, you know, that's not going to be reliable enough.
Yeah.
You know, it's only after OJ's case that people are like, oh, yeah, we should probably take note of this. So imagine that. Imagine, like, it wasn't even as if... So in the 60s, it just would have been completely, like, what are you talking about that we can test for DNA? Like, are you mental? Like that, it just feels like a different world.
Mm.
Sorry, Tis, we went on a tangent there, in some ways, but not in, you know.
Well, I feel like now we've just established that it's a two-parter, we're giving ourselves more breathing room to ponder on different tracks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's definitely a two-parter. I mean, we're not even on the suspects, and the suspects is an episode in itself, it seems.
Yeah, that's what I say. We'll do the suspects next time, we'll do the other stuff this time. So where are we up to with the killings then? He's done his...
We're up to...
Park killing.
Yes, so we've got one killing left.
Right, okay.
If we're to follow the confirmed Zodiac kind of in the sort of canon of the Zodiac, if you like.
Right.
Right, let's find... Here we go. Paul Stein. Paul Stein was a taxi driver. This was October 11th, 1969.
This is the one I was thinking about earlier when I said, is this the one in the car? Is the taxi, yeah.
Right, yeah. This is the last killing, confirmed killing. Cab driver Paul Stein, age 29, was shot once in the head at point-blank range. The weapon was a 9mm semi-automatic pistol, not the same 9mm used in the Ferrin murder. There are three witnesses from a house on the southeast corner of the intersection that saw him. Stein's cab was hailed at Mason and Geary Streets, with the intended destination being Washington and Maple Streets near the Presidio. For reasons unknown, the cab ended up at Washington and Cherry, a block away from the original destination. Stein's wallet and keys were taken, and a large portion of his shirt, which were carefully torn off. Bloody fingerprints, potentially of the suspect, were recovered from the vehicle. According to the police document, a pair of men's size 7 black leather gloves was also found. The three witnesses watched the suspect from approximately 60 feet away as he wiped down the cab with a cloth after killing Stein. They called the police and described a white male, 25 to 30 years old, 5'8 to 5'9, stocky build, reddish brown hair, worn in a crew cut, heavy rimmed glasses, and dark clothing.
This sounds like if you got me and Beef and squished us into one person.
Yeah, exactly. I was just thinking that. Stocky build, thick rimmed glasses.
Is that an admission of guilt? Beef and Bob.
So this one feels really weird compared to the others, because it feels just...
He wiped it down.
Yeah.
It feels less elaborate, because he's just like just shooting a taxi driver.
This is the first murder in which the murderer could choose when and where he was going to kill the victim.
Right. I was going to say it feels less elaborate because he's just shooting the guy, but more elaborate because it's so public. It's like in the street, basically.
Yeah.
So yeah. It's more public, yeah. But like less theatrical. It's really
confidence
odd.
Level is super high at this point.
Yeah, and in the film again, this is shot in the way in which you were seeing what the witnesses would have seen. So it's from the windows of the houses, yeah. Looking at the taxi down. Because all the murders, they've tried to do it from the people that were witnesses' point of views. And that's why I remember this bit very well, because it is from the windows of the people that saw it. So you're seeing what the people that witnessed reported.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And unfortunately, the police dispatcher mistakenly described the suspect as being a black male adult.
Because he's wearing black clothing.
Yeah. Well, no, I think it was just, I think they knew that the witnesses knew he was white. I think it was just a case of good old-fashioned racism.
Yeah, racial stereotyping, innit?
These crazy serial killers are always white.
Yeah, exactly. As a result, when patrol officers Donald Falk and Eric Zelms minutes later observed a white man walking east on Jackson Street, he was never stopped and questioned. The officers did get a good look at him, however. When the correct description of the suspect was finally broadcast, the officers realized they might have encountered him. A search of the area where the man had been observed was conducted to no avail. The man seen by Falk and Zelms was very similar to the suspect observed by the three witnesses. He was white, 35 to 45 years old, 5'10", between 180 and 200 pounds, barrel-chested with a light-coloured crew-cut hair and wearing glasses. The man didn't appear to be carrying anything, and no conversation between the man and the officers took place. Yeah, that's crazy, right?
Yeah, why didn't they didn't even bother?
They didn't even stop him. Like, there's a murder. You got to stop everyone, no matter what.
And also, like, not only that, this is in the era of Zodiac, when they should have their guard up for any weird shit like this.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, it's pretty unacceptable, isn't it? Again, it's... Yeah, it's just nuts.
Yeah. So that's the Paul Stein murder.
So two police... You said it was two police that just walked past this guy.
I believe it was a patrol... In a patrol car, I think they were. I think they drove past him, but...
Okay.
But still.
I suppose the way they described him was different to the way... To the description they were given, though. In some ways.
Crew cut and glasses is quite close, though.
I suppose. But the height and the build sounded different. And I suppose what you would describe as someone with a stocky build... And what my perception of that would look like is different.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
So imagine how hard that would be. Like, I don't even know how they... And barrel-chested is interesting. Like, that's, to me, a barrel-chested man is different to stocky. Stocky build is...
Yeah.
You're short and you're like, heavy set.
Broad.
You're broad shoulders, almost like stocky rugby player build. Barrel-chested is more like... You're a big guy.
Yeah.
Like a beer belly.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a big Viking. Yeah. But this is, again, that's like how confident he is. He just walked away. What? He just, like, calmly cruised past the police.
Well, he not only just walked away, he calmly got into the front seat, wiped down parts of the car, and tore off a part of his shirt, or delicately cut away a part of his shirt while witnesses were watching, and then casually walked off.
Mm.
And there's a letter that got sent to the San Francisco Chronicle on the 13th of October. When was the actual killing? The killing was October as well. So the letter was sent basically the same month, probably the same week, that's a guess, but probably. This is the Zodiac speaking. I am the murderer of the taxi driver over by Washington Street of Maple Street last night. Oh, last night, there you go. To prove this, I have his blood-stained piece of his shirt. I am the same man who did the people in the North Bay area. The San Francisco police could have caught me last night if they had searched the park properly instead of holding road races with their motor circles, seeing who could make the most noise. The cab drivers should have just parked their car and sat there quietly waiting for me to come out of cover. Oh, the something driver? Must have been cop drivers.
out of cover. And then he ends the letter with this chilling parting note. School children make nice targets. I think I shall wipe out a school bus some morning, just shoot out the front tire, and then just pick off the kiddies as they come bouncing out.
Yeah.
Whoa.
That's like, I remember that. Pick off the kiddies as they come bouncing out.
Mm. And this caused, if the film's to be believed, it caused hysteria. There was talk of shutting schools, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm not surprised.
Because so far, this guy hasn't fucked around. He's done exactly what he said he's going to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to take it at face value.
He's holding the city in the palm of his hand.
Yeah.
Well, I was also, that could just be a diversion to what he actually wants to do next.
Or he doesn't plan on doing it. He's just fucking around, saying something that he thinks is going to shock him.
Yeah. Mental.
It makes me wonder, like, the shooting of the cab driver, it makes me wonder if he planned to do that or if it's just, like, took an opportunity, like, like, he's carrying his gun, and he's like, I could kill this guy. And he just did it.
Yeah.
I don't know. You can't pin this guy down.
Yeah.
It's so interesting. Really interesting. And we'll probably never know who he was.
No.
There's no way to prove it now, that's the thing. It's like the Ripper thing. They come up with theories all the time, and some of them are so plausible. Like the one that came out, Jack the Ripper, a few years ago, where there was like, oh, he was this barber and blah, blah. But that all sounds very believable, but can you prove it? No. So it will never be solved.
Yeah.
Because you can't prove anything.
No.
Yeah.
So he's got exactly what he wanted.
But he never did blow up a bus, did he?
No.
Or shoot out a bus?
No. No, he never did.
Oh. Sorry, I sounded disappointing then. That wasn't... Disappointed wasn't the noise I meant to make. Like, oh. Just... It was more meant to just be like relief. Like, oh, that's good.
I could edit your oh in earlier if you like.
Yeah, go on then.
So that was the last confirmed one. The last confirmed killing of his.
That's the last confirmed killing, yeah.
It is amazing how each one is similar. Like, there are similarities.
There's only two that are, like, identical, and then the rest are kind of...
There's enough there that you could pin it on. Yeah, it's definitely the Zodiac.
Yeah, he's fucking around again.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
And actually, like, obviously, no murder is ever, like, pleasant, but... It's not really gratuitous. It's like the killings, like the shootings and stabbings, like they're all that's horrible. Don't get me wrong, but it's not completely gratuitous and just vulgar and disgusting. It's not like that was why he was doing it. It's not like some killers, they get their satisfaction out of the way they do it and what they end up doing to their victims. It's not that at all. It's clearly just that you can do it.
Well, the most sadistic one is the one by the lake where he's like ordering them around and things. But yeah. Even that, it feels like he's playing with power.
Yeah, and actually the fact that not everyone was like that, it's like he was just trying it and maybe
he was
that
just trying it on, yeah.
Just didn't tickle his fancy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to watch this film now, but not tonight. It's too late.
See if you can squeeze it in by the time we record the second part, Biff.
Yeah.
I should think so. I'm going to... It's one of those films that you just... I keep putting off. I don't know why. But it's... Yeah.
I'm actually pretty glad we're going to do The Suspects in another episode, because there's probably like 3 or 4 documentaries I still could watch that are like 2 hours each. With all new information.
What? So did you say that he sent another letter, Tis?
Yeah, so another letter, the next letter on from that one, November of the same year. And it says, this is the Zodiac speaking. I thought you would need a good laugh before you hear the bad news. You won't get the news for a while yet. P.S. Could you print this new cipher in your front page? I get awfully lonely when I am ignored. So lonely I could do my thing.
The way he describes his killings is so weird and distant. Do my thing. And in the other one, it was like, I'm the one who did those up in the north or something.
Yeah, did those kids.
Yeah, it's so weird the way he speaks. I can't tell if he's really clever or like a little bit simple. It's a weird mix. He's really intelligent one minute and then he's like, I did those kids, which sounds very like disjointed.
Yeah.
It's a very weird tone to the way he writes.
And the 340 cipher was sent with that. And this one is maybe unsolved. Maybe it's been solved. Maybe I'll leave that for the next episode. Maybe. So what I want to do is I want to read, because if we just go back to the first cipher that was sent to the free papers, that was the first cipher, and that was solved pretty quickly by some amateur cryptologists. And this one says, I like killing people because it's so much fun. It is more fun than killing wild game in the forest because man is the most dangerous animal. Reference to a film of all, To Kill Something. Yeah, that was the first cipher. It was discovered because the amateur cryptologists had assumed that somewhere in the cipher there would be the words kill or killing and I, because the guy had an ego. And from that, they managed to decode the message quite quickly. But obviously, it didn't reveal his identity.
So sadistic.
You said there was other killings that he took credit for. Is there any of those in particular that were interesting or that seemed likely?
So there's an interesting one that happened, and this isn't a killing, actually. This is a failed abduction, and this was in the film as well. This was Kathleen Johns. She was driving. She was driving down the road and had pulled over because a man in another car had gestured that one of her wheels was wobbling. The man also pulled over and offered to fix the problem. Instead, he seemingly made it worse. When Johns pulled back onto the highway, the wheel came off. Once again, offering to help, the man convinced her to accept a ride to a service station. However, according to Johns, the man drove her and her baby around desolate back roads near the town of Tracy for almost 2 hours, threatening to kill them. The man was approximately 30 years old, 5'9", 160 pounds, had short dark hair and was wearing a heavy-rimmed glasses and dark clothing. Clutching her daughter, Johns was finally able to escape and found a ride to a nearby town. Once at the police station, Johns spotted the Zodiac wanted poster and frantically identified him as being responsible for the abduction. Over the next few days, San Francisco major newspapers, The Chronicle, The Examiner, ran the story on the incident. And on July 24th, 1970, the Zodiac mailed a letter to the Chronicle, apparently taking credit for the crime. As there's a bit on this, which is sort of like Zodiac victim, question mark. This case is a mess. First of all, while Johns claims her life was threatened, the police report tells a different story. In fact, the three reports I've read, none detail any statement by John about being threatened in any way. According to Kathleen, the police officers must have relied on memory when preparing her reports, as they didn't document any of her story while she was present. And even though the Zodiac wrote a letter in apparent reference to the incident, he uncharacteristically failed to provide the details that would have clearly established his involvement.
Do you remember, or if did you come across a potential victim named Donna Lass?
Yes.
Because that's the one we've talked about. I did, literally, as we're sitting here, I flicked through my pod notebook and I've come across my page of notes on that, because that's what we talked about on the weird phone calls one. So the notes I've got for that, it's just very abbreviated because it's just my notes that I was going to pick up of the time. I've written, in 1970, Donna Lass, 25, went missing and is suspected to have been a victim of Zodiac, worked as a nurse in a casino at California Lake Tahoe. Her boss and landlord received a call one day saying she would not be available to work and would be out of town for a while. Her boss called Donna's mother, who had no idea, and visited her home. The car was there without any sign of her. There was an entry by her in her work logbook from the end of her last shift that was unfinished. Perhaps it was interrupted. The call was suspected to be from Zodiac. 6 months later, investigator into Zodiac received a postcard from him that mentioned a victim buried at Lake Tahoe that was never found.
Whoa.
So that's the one. I knew we'd talked about one of his potential ones before, and that's the one. I just found them notes as we were recording.
So on this website, in reaction to that, they...
Yeah.
Says nothing solid connects Lass to the Zodiac case, other than perhaps the fact that she was living just a few blocks away from the scene of the Zodiac's October 11th, 1969 murder of Paul Stein in San Francisco. A postcard supposedly from Zodiac was received by the San Francisco Chronicle on March 22nd, 1971. With the implication that Lass was a murder victim. However, the postcard contained no proof. Oh, no proof, because, yeah, he usually gives details.
Right, okay.
In 1999, a retired detective revealed to me that a former Zodiac investigator had admitted to forging the Lass postcard.
Interesting, okay. It's like they're just trying to pin things together. Like, Zodiac was around at that time. Who went missing around that time that we can say was Zodiac, sort of thing?
They're, on this website as well, there is a photocopy of said postcard. Yeah, such a great resource. There's so many great, like, everything's photocopied. You can see all the letters, the original letters and everything.
Well, because it was also public, all these letters and stuff... It's all there for you to see, because half of them was published in newspapers and stuff. Such a weird public thing.
The investigation was happening almost in the public eye.
Yeah.
Or the amateur investigators had lots to go on from what was happening in the news, and it probably inspired so many amateur sleuths to take on the task, and maybe that was his intention.
He's making the cops look stupid so publicly as well, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's, like, waving it in their face for all the public to see.
Yeah.
And he knows that, you know, your average newspaper editor, it's, you know, it's almost like, you know, they're not going to say no. One, because it will sell their papers.
Everyone's going to buy that paper.
And, yeah, exactly. And two... you're not exactly going to want to be responsible for any harm coming to it. So if you don't print it and you then read of another death, you're going to then think, well, that was my fault.
Yeah.
So he knows they'll print it. He's not, you know, and it would be different these days, I suppose. But it's just, yeah, it's just so weird to think it was that public.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mental. Really crazy.
Let's go through. I've got, there's two other killings that were possible Zodiac victims. Method of attack. Robert Domingos, aged 18, was shot 11 times. His fiancée, Linda Edwards, aged 17. Fiancée at 17, wow. Was shot 9 times. The weapon was a 22 caliber semi-automatic. The classic. Probably a rifle. The ammunition was Winchester Western Super X coated copper long rifle. There was no indication of robbery or sexual molestation, the classic signs of a Zodiac death. There were no witnesses due to the remote location of the crime. The bodies weren't found until the following evening. So if I go to the why this might have been Zodiac or might not have been, the similarities between this attack and the Zodiac's Lake Berryessa attack of 1969 are striking. Additionally, the ammunition used to kill Domingos and Edwards was the same kind Zodiac used at his Lake Herman Road attack in 1968. In 1972, the Santa Barbara County Sheriff's Department issued a press release in an attempt to conclusively link Zodiac to the Domingo-Edwards killings. The potential involvement of the Zodiac received extensive coverage in the news media. Conclusion is that Domingos Edwards' tragedy has Zodiac's fingerprints all over it. The knife, gun, pre-cut rope, the motiveless assault on vulnerable teenagers at a remote location. It's very unlikely this attack and Zodiac Lake Berryessa attack were the work of separate individuals.
Yeah, sounds like that to me.
Yeah, apparently the killer approached while they were sunbathing as Edward was forced to bind Domingos at gunpoint with lengths of narrow rope. Both victims attempted to flee and were shot numerous times. So, yeah, very similar to the Lake Berryessa killing. If not the Zodiac, it's certainly a copycat.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one, Raymond Davis. In 1962, so this is, 1962, wow, this is at least 7 years before the main killings that we associate with Zodiac. After becoming estranged from his wife, Davis lived with his brother in a rented home in Tremont Street, Oceanside. Davis, a driver for the Checker Cab Company, picked up a fare at downtown cab stand, possibly on Mission Avenue, and notified his dispatcher that he was delivering the fare to a location in South Oceanside. Davis was never heard from again. Early the next morning, the body of Davis was found in the exclusive upscale neighborhood called St. Mayo, Oceanside's first gated community. Davis had been shot twice from the back seat of his cab, one shot to the back and one to the other to his head. After dumping the body of Davis in the alley, his killer escaped in the cab before quickly abandoning it at 400 Pacific Street. The exact dump site of the body was an alley directly behind 1962 South Pacific Street. The investigation revealed that Davis wasn't robbed and the police could never establish a motive for the killing.
I'm not sure about that one. I don't know why. It just doesn't feel...
Yeah.
I was going to say that.
The one before, I'm like, yeah, maybe. That one, it doesn't feel... But then Zodiac's so unpredictable that who knows?
Yeah.
Because if you'd have told me, if that one with about the taxi driver wasn't confirmed, I'd have been like, oh, that doesn't feel real. Doesn't sound like a Zodiac. So who fucking knows?
Yeah. The conclusion that the website has is that with all the unusual similarities between the confirmed Zodiac attacks and the murder of Ray Davis, I see only two possibilities. The Zodiac killer somehow learned of Davis' case and decided to copy it, or Davis was killed by the actual Zodiac. In 1971 letter, the Zodiac killer claimed he had many undiscovered victims in Southern California, and I believe Davis was likely one of them. While there is no available DNA in the Davis case, the possibility exists of using ballistics to prove the same 22 weapon was used in both Zodiac case.
Yeah,
maybe.
And the murder of Ray Davis, which would give definitive proof. For now, however, Davis is definitely a possible Zodiac victim.
Thing with Zodiac, though, is like he's so full of it, as well as like laying it all on the line. Like when he's like, I'm an escaped convict and all that stuff. He's so full of shit sometimes that when he's like, oh, I killed all these people as well. And I killed them. Like, did you, or did you just kill like the six or so people that we know about? And all, when you're just being a blowhard, you're like, oh, actually I've killed loads more. Where's the evidence for those then, Zodi?
Exactly.
Zodi.
Zodi. Zodi.
Wow, so there's, I don't know how you ever thought was going to get through this in one episode, Tis.
I wanted as much information as possible.
So we just got through the victims, yeah.
Yeah.
It would be interesting to crack the case next time round.
Yeah, next time when we've sat to stew on it and we'll look through the suspects, we'll crack it after all these years, finally.
No problem.
I think the start of the next episode, I'm going to run straight into the Dunbar interview that we've spoken about.
Yes, I was
going to
say you're going to cover that as well, yeah.
And also the cracked crypto... what do you call it? Cryptography. Cryptoid. I don't know what you'd call it.
Cypher.
The cryptic...
Cryptozoology.
The cypher. The 370 cypher has been cracked.
Right.
Very recently, like weeks ago or maybe months ago.
Oh, if that's not a tantalizing thread for our listeners to come back next time, I don't know what is.
Exactly.
I mean, they could probably look it up themselves in between, but...
No, don't look it up. Don't do it. You're not allowed.
Wait to hear it from us. So next time you've got the cipher decoded, you've got the Dunbar interview, and you've got all the suspects, it's going to be another meaty one.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
And we're going to crack the case.
Once and for all.
We're going to crack it.
Excellent. Well, this has been really fun.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll call it there. It's super late. I've got work in the morning. I haven't had a chance to go through the emails for a while. I've been taking a bit of a break. So everyone who sent me emails from December till now, maybe by the time this comes out, I'll have responded, but I'm going to start going through them this weekend and respond to everyone, which also means I haven't really gone through Listener of the Week, Pair of the Week stuff. But Listener of the Week, I'm going to give to someone who is a long, long time listener who regularly comments on the show and sends me messages and says still loving it, it's amazing. Someone who's actually been on the show in the early days, Anthony Swift. So kind of a cheat because we actually know him in real life, but it's been a long time since I've actually seen you in person, Swifty. He was on our second discussion episode, the first one we had a guest. We talked about belief
years ago.
One of our, maybe our first guest,
I think, first guest, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But still dedicated listener. So Swifty, thanks for listening. I really appreciate when you message me every now and then and say you're still enjoying the show. Here's your Listener of the Week.
Listener of the Week.
Nice one, Swift.
Thanks, mate.
And Pet of the Week. So I haven't had a chance to go through it, but I know we've got submissions because I see the names of the emails, but I haven't actually read any of them. So what I'm doing is, do you remember, not last time, but the time before, we gave a unnamed cat Pet of the Week?
Yeah.
Yeah,
this is that. This cat isn't getting a new Pet of the Week, but now I know its name.
Okay.
I'm going to mention its name. The cat is called Prim, and I have a picture of it here. Tis won't be able to see, but Beef, you can describe the cat for him if you like.
Ah, it looks just like my cat Figaro.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, black and white, mostly black, yeah, with a white nose and a white line up the center of his face, and like a white. Almost like a bib. White cravat, like a bib, yeah. cute looking cat.
So that's Beth Tilly's grumpy cat who we had to wrestle away from the unicorn bike to be Pet of the Week. Now it's getting its own official Pet of the Week, now that we have a picture and the name to go with it. But that doesn't mean if you've sent yours in, you're getting ignored. I've got loads to go through, and I'm sure there's going to be more sent in. So thanks, everyone, for all your emails. They will all be getting responded to ASAP. If you want to send us stuff, pictures, comments, emails, suggestions, anything, you can do so directly at the email, which is unexplainableuk@mail.com, or you can go to weirdtalesandtheunexplainable.com and contact through there. You can also find loads of links to all the other stuff that's relevant to the show, links to our Tee Public store where, through popular demand, the SUV to Mars t-shirts are now back available. We have all our designs on there now. So you can go to Tee Public store from the website. Also on the website, you can donate monetarily if you'd like. You can find links to our social medias. And the other website you can go to is my personal website. That's bobshoy.com, B-O-B-S-H-O-Y, because this podcast is part of the Bob Shoy Podcast Network, as well as some other shows. So if you go on my website, you can see those. You might enjoy those as well. You can also support my time editing and researching for those shows at patreon.com/bobshoy. Whew.
You made it.
I got through all that without breathing, it felt like.
You did. I'm impressed.
So yeah, we're in the middle of a new... Well, we're at the start of a new series now. Tis is going to get two episodes in this one, which is good, because we always do five, and I didn't know what the fifth one was going to be. So Tis is doing two, me and Beef will do one, and I know Rick is getting one ready for a revisited, so it's going to be a good series and a good start to the year.
Sweet.
Amazing.
Yeah, that was fun. That was really good, like, nice way back into it. Thanks, Tis.
Real popular, well-demanded topic to kick off 2021.
Yeah.
It needed to be done sooner than later. I'm surprised it took us this long to do it.
You've been doing that, though, Tis. When you did the Men in Black one, you've been picking up these threads that we've left laying on the floor.
Yeah, it's because I look at the list and I'm just like, oh,
what's the obvious shit we haven't done yet?
I don't know what to do. And then Zodiac's got so much information online. I'm just like, well, it'd be rude not to.
I've got one I want to do that I've been wanting to do for a while, but I think it's going to be like a lot of research. So depending on how much time I have, I'm either going to do that or something lighter. But We'll see. I've got my assessment next week, so after that, I'll be working on my episode.
I've been staying away from like Da Vinci and the Sistine Chapel, that sort of era. can't get my facts straight on that side. So
I'm going to do an episode all about the best flubs on Weird Tales. That's my episode. All the things we've got wrong over the years. It's going to have to be a three-part. Oh, God.
I was going to say, that's the longest episode ever. Yeah.
That's almost like 150 of those episodes, to be fair.
Weird Tales Redacted. Right, okay. So thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for putting me in a better mood, guys.
No problem.
Yeah, it's been fun. I needed it. I needed to have a pick-me-up.
Me too.
It's been great.
Very selfish, but I needed to pick-me-up today.
Yeah.
So, So until next time, everyone.
We love you.
Yeah.
Stay Zodiac.
Zodiac later.
We'll see you soon. Lots of love.
Don't get shot in a secluded area. Although if you're the guy, it seems statistically that you'd probably survive. So chin up.
But don't go to make out point.
Until next time.
You do, don't go in a convertible.
Chin up.
And if someone drives behind you, just drive off. Don't wait for the flashlight to come out.
I'm not dragging that anymore. See you later, Zodi.
See you. Bye.
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 Love you. Bye.
It's also the biggest mug I've ever seen in my life. It's bigger than your head.
It's a Thatcher's
tank, like a tankard.
Cider stein. But I have tea out of it. It's great.
Brilliant.
Are you drinking a pint of tea?
It's got to be a pint.
That's
it's
like
got
one of them first direct
pint.
Mugs, the ones that you can like fit over your head.
No, those Sports Direct ones are mad.
They always give them away for free, and then I'm like, you dirty bastards, when I see them in charity shops.
Yeah,
They're going to charge you for something that they give away for free.
Who would buy one of those? No one wanted them.
No.
That's why they were giving them away. No one needs that much fucking tea. No one. And I'm English.
Apart from you, clearly.
It's like necking a rucksack of tea.
The Sports Direct mug has got to be at least 3 litres. It's got to be 3 litres.
3 litres. Woohoo!
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.